Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is Mark Ruffalo's Fluffy Bunch of Buffaloes.
It is not that, but I wish it was. This is The Cozy Co-op, a podcast made by a video game journalist slash funny guy and a creative writer to talk about video games.
Would you believe I had to practice that line to not mess it up?
When did you practice that?
On and off for the last week. I came up with the idea like after our last pod. Anyway, yeah, video games. We're talking about Curse of Monkey Island.
Yes,
this is one you have words on.
This is one of my favorite video games.
But before we get to words, how about some different words?
Some news words.
Nice. That's synergy right there. So first thing, I'm going to start oldest and get newest. Snapchat apparently has an upcoming gaming platform.
Yeah.
I can't quite recall the sources on this, but it seemed reliable. It was that Snapchat is working to allow users to download third-party games and apps through Snapchat and play them, I guess. That's all I really know about it.
Okay. I would definitely have to see that to figure out how that works.
Yeah, I know that. I've seen that, like, before. Like, Google Play Games has, like, little... You can download games from within that and play it within. Mm-hmm. So it's a thing. I get it, but why Snapchat?
Yeah.
Why? Other thing. Hammond, a.k.a. Wrecking Ball, the latest Overwatch character, is literally a hamster.
So there's just such a small pool of names that you can give hamsters, huh?
And Hammond is, he's probably an Animal Crossing character.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of names.
There's one hamster in Animal Crossing named Apple. And I'm like, see,
I know
that's
Apple.
It.
Now, what I like about Hammond is, apparently when they were showing off the design for Winston the gorilla, they're like, wow, he looks really cool, but we gotta have him. But that's kind of out there to have a gorilla as like a high-tech, from-the-moon creature and whatnot.
Now, wait a minute. This has been done.
A super smart gorilla?
Yeah.
Character? In what?
DC. Grog.
Okay. Is it Grog?
Grod.
Grod. Two Ds at the end.
Yeah.
Grod. That's true. Grodd, oh my god. Is Winston just Grodd?
Yeah.
Huh. This opens up a whole new headcanon.
It makes me confused as to why they looked at basically Grodd and be like, oh, no one's gonna take this. Like,
my AU is ruined now.
Oh.
Speaking of AU, We Happy Few have...
Wait, did you finish your thing about...
Hammond? He's confirmed, that's it.
Okay.
He's called the Wrecking Ball because he moves around in a giant
mech suit. Yeah.
He's not available yet. He will be soon. I can't recall if they said the date or not. Go check out some videos. They're up there. Last bit of news. We Happy Few, the open world horror survival whatever game, have been given a rating in Australia.
Yeah, instead of being just completely banned like it had been.
Yes, last month it was refused classification by the Australian Video Game Board, whatever they're called. Because the use of joy in the game apparently was perceived as rewarding or promoting drug use.
Joy is pill or a drug in the game.
One that you're required to take in order to see the world in a happy form. The premise of the game is you stop taking it and you see the world for what it really is.
When I have a friend who lives in Australia, and he was super bummed about it being banned, and now it's back, which, you know,
they issued a repeal.
I did have when he first told me about this game a couple years ago.
Oh yeah, it's been in development a while.
When he first told me about it and told me what the title was, I definitely went on a big old creative writer monologue about why I love the title in reference to what the game itself is about. And it was, yeah, so I've not played We Happy Few, but...
Well, I mean, just no one has.
Well, in the beta or whatever.
I keep forgetting that happened.
And Yeah, I've not played it or anything, but based on what I know of the title and the story, I find it creative genius.
It is a really cool concept.
It is. It's very good.
I'm worried that it's beginning to get a little overhyped.
Ah.
Which, I am concerned about that. I think it's a really cool game, but I'm worried that it's not going to be as mind-blowing as people are starting to think it will.
Well, the only people I've ever heard talk about it are you and my friend in Australia, so...
That's fair. So yeah, the company Compulsion Games, I think, are developing it. They requested a... What's it called? Repeal? Appeal?
Appeal.
They requested that. And the board has responded with, okay, we're going to give it an R18 plus rating instead.
Mm-hmm.
So it is allowed for sale in Australia. They have yet to disclose why they did this change. Though we
might
find out
maybe they finally recognized the artistic decision in why taking joy makes the game easier for you and what that means on a metaphysical level. But
I think they were just like... The game people were just described why it's actually bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the last bit of our news.
We have
video game to talk about.
Gonna talk about pirates.
Pirates.
Some real cheesy pirates.
The cheesiest. Nacho.
Sometimes literally.
Gorgonzola.
There has been a couple of times that I can recall nacho cheese being an element in
you know,
this game.
You know, this doesn't surprise me. This is a very non-serious game.
So for anyone who likes point-and-click adventures, particularly from the 90s,
we're all point-and-click adventures.
Yeah.
Wow, I cannot talk.
You may enjoy Monkey Island, or you may have already played it. So I'm going to start off by confessing I've not played every game in this series. The Curse of Monkey Island, which is the main one that I'm going to be talking about, came out in 97. It is the third game in the series.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's older than I realized.
But it looks real good. The first couple of games. So I will say the series overall follows the exploits of Guybrush Threepwood,
Mighty
Pirate.
I love that name.
It is a good name.
It's a good name.
And he's a great character. He is... madly in love with Governor Elaine Marley.
Now, yeah, okay. She is a governor in this. She's a recurring character in the series, but I guess in this particular one, she's a governor.
In the first several, she's a governor.
Oh, so that's another recurring trait.
Yes, she's a governor. And the main antagonist, the sometimes ghost, sometimes zombie, sometimes just dead pirate, LeChuck.
LeChuck. Another good name.
So, the first game, Secret of Monkey Island. Well, the first two, actually. The Secret of Monkey Island and Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge, had no dialogue. They just had text.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, there wasn't a lot of that fancy schmancy stuff came out in the late 90s.
Audio files were kind of large, so it was hard to get them to fit.
So, the first game, Secret of Monkey Island, is basically that Guybrush sets out and says, I want to be a pirate. In the course of him trying to prove himself as a pirate to these three big pirate dudes, he comes across Elaine and LeChuck. Well, initially, just Elaine in her governor's mansion. I think he's trying to steal something out of it or whatever. He falls in love with her, doesn't realize that ghost pirate LeChuck also wants Elaine.
Of course.
So, shenanigans ensue. We get, and, you know, I assume Guybrush wins and runs off into the sunset with Elaine. Then there's Monkey Island 2, LeChuck's Revenge, where Guybrush is actually retelling this story. So you see Guybrush and Elaine in sort of a dire situation, and Guybrush is telling her the story of how he got here, which is like after the events of the first game. He got trapped in some carnival, I think. I can't quite remember. But he meets a couple of other characters that come back later who help him out. And it ends with him falling into a trap of LeChuck's. And then apparently he gets cursed by LeChuck's voodoo. Voodoo's a very big thing in these games.
Yeah, because it's like Caribbean zone.
Yeah, it is the Caribbean. And then is separated from Elaine once again and presumed dead. Cue Curse of Monkey Island. This time they introduced voices.
Yes, this was fully voice acted?
Fully.
Which was not, I mean, that was very common for this generation of point and clicks.
So, yeah, and it is actually funny because when I was younger, playing a lot of games where you chose dialogue and the person spoke, you chose the dialogue and the person said that dialogue.
Yeah.
This game from 97 is one of those games where more often than not, you choose the dialogue and Guybrush says something to that effect, but he's not got a whole bunch of, you know, more words.
Gotcha.
One funny thing that I do like about The Curse of Monkey Island is there are multiple occasions in each game. And you always know when this is coming because each response you can give, there's like five of them. And if every response is basically saying the same thing, which is either like not an answer to the question that was asked, or all of them are a no when the person's looking for a yes, you can choose any one of those options, and Guybrush will only get out a, and then the other person will just completely steamroll over him. So you don't actually get to respond, but it's kind of funny, you can see that coming.
Unless you choose what you don't even get to say.
Yeah. So he's got a voice, and everyone else has a voice. They also changed the art style to sell something.
Cell shaded?
Yeah.
Are you for Curse of Monkey Island?
Yes.
Not cell shaded then.
What is it?
Oh, I God. Can't remember. What do they call it? Cell animation?
That might be it. I'm looking up the wiki. So I didn't copy and paste the wiki this time. Okay. So yeah, Curse of Monkey Island actually came 6 years after LeChuck's Revenge, which is kind of funny because it was Secret of Monkey Island in 90.
Ooh, the 90s.
And then Monkey Island 2 in 91. And then 6 years later, we got Curse of Monkey Island. And then I think 3 years after that was Escape from Monkey Island. And then all the way up to 2009 when Telltale picked up the game.
Of course.
This is initially published by LucasArts. And LucasArts didn't shut down until 2010. The last thing they did was remaster Monkey Island 2.
Gotcha.
So that you could play it on different devices. Monkey Islands 1 and 2 were originally released on floppy disks. Text dialogue only.
That sounds right.
Cell animation, yes.
Cell animation, okay. Yeah. Cell shading is a whole different thing.
Yeah, I didn't think it was cell shading.
I think Borderlands is cell shaded.
Right. It's a comic style.
Cell animation.
So, cell animation was used in The Curse of Monkey Island, and is the only game that has this in the series.
It pays off. Like,
it's beautiful.
The animation in this game for I guess 97 still wasn't that uncommon. It's still good, though.
The art is just beautiful. So it's very stylized and very pretty. So you follow Guybrush, who the opening scene is like my favorite opening scene in any video game, where Guybrush is. So I said he was at like a carnival, right? In the last game, like Carnival of the Damned or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Open up on Curse of Monkey Island, Guybrush is floating lost at sea in a bumper car.
Oh.
And he's writing in a journal about how he misses Elaine. He's talking about how much he hates LeChuck, so basically summarizing the situation for newcomers.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking about how he wishes he could just have a drink of fresh water. And as he's writing this, in the foreground, a bottle of water floats by that he doesn't see. Or maybe some fruit to fight off this scurvy, he writes. And then you see a fruit basket floating by in the water.
A basket, not just stray fruit, an actual
like
basket.
A whole basket full of fruit. And then he's like, I could even go for some chicken or whatever it is. And then there's like a a barrel of grog floating by, and on top of it is sitting this very plump chicken. And he's like, oh, I should just stop torturing myself and wishing for all of these things. And then the next thing that happens is you hear cannon fire. Mm-hmm. And he looks up, and he's sailing straight into a port.
Yeah.
And there's a big fort to one side.
The fort port.
And then there's LeChuck's ship to the other.
Uh-huh.
And Elaine, governor of this port over here.
The port.
Is lighting cannons and firing them at LeChuck. And all the while that they're firing cannons at each other, they're having this conversation where LeChuck is like, come here onto my ship, you salty female. And she's like, I'm just not looking for a relationship like this
right now.
We're
in different places right now.
He's like, come be my queen of the damned. And she's like, I gotta wash my hair tonight. And sends another cannon at him.
This intro is a wonderful example of just what this game, and all of these games, the Monkey Island series are full of.
Quintessential Monkey Island. It's absolutely so tongue-in-cheek. Witty banter. Because that's the thing. It relies on witty banter because that's all you have. You find objects and use them to kind of solve puzzles and whatnot.
Yeah.
But in order to get anywhere, you have to talk to people. And you have to keep talking to the same people several times. And a lot of the times in these games, you have to get through all of the dialogue with the person.
Oh, yeah.
And so the witty banter is what makes it worth
it. Yeah, because that's what it adds that's different. I mean, and there were plenty of point and clicks back in the day, you know. If you wanted to stand out, you needed to either be, you know, really engaging, or you needed to be just memorable, probably funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, another game that's similar like this, it's comedic, and it's a point and click, is called Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, yeah.
You've
told me about this game.
Oh, God, those games. Wonderful satire of sexism.
Ugh, yeah. So, yeah, a lot of it is very, very, very tongue-in-cheek. There's a lot of Easter eggs and references and stuff in it. So it's kind of a...
Well, it's like you said, like, how he comes in on a bumper car.
Yeah.
You're not really going to get that
if
you don't play the last game.
There's, like, roller coasters and stuff. And it's just, that's just how it is anachronisms is the word I was looking for. Is it's like, you know, pirate era, but you have a lot of references and people talking the way we might talk about things.
Yeah. There was a surfer dude. I heard the
voice. Oh, yeah.
I think that was Tales of Monkey Island.
Yes. Yeah. He was one of the crew members. So, I really do enjoy this game. I will say one thing that sort of detracts from it is you really do kind of have to look up walkthroughs. Because I won't even say it's just because the puzzles are so hard. It's because they're so nonsensical.
Oh, yeah.
There are some of them that's like you. There's one, and I'm going to. This is really gross. So if you're squeamish, go ahead and fast forward about 30 seconds.
Go ahead, squeam me away.
There's a part in Curse of Monkey Island where you have to find a map to Blood Island, and only one guy has the map, and he's got it tattooed on his back. And what you do is you, while he's suntanning, you pour oil, like frying oil, back, and it burns.
Ugh.
And then you take the skin, you know how your skin peels when you get burned?
Yeah.
You just peel the whole map off his back, and apparently you can just read that.
That's nasty.
Who would ever be twisted enough to think of doing something like that?
Well, to their credit, I cannot imagine any, like, because you can't just do it the normal way.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this game is about.
That's exactly it. Every time I look at a thing and go, that seems really simple. I don't think that's how that works. It's not.
It's not.
Something more complicated. There's always at least one more step of it being more complicated than it needs to be.
And point and clicks historically have a problem with being convoluted or unnecessarily difficult. I'd love... A perfect example is... Douglas Adams's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, They made a text adventure of it.
Oh.
However, in the very beginning, you have to give this sandwich to a dog and then step on a flea? Or not, okay. No, I'm sorry. You have to intentionally avoid the flea, or maybe it was a fly. but this very minute thing doesn't really matter. However, if you don't do that in the very beginning, you will cannot beat the game in the end.
No, see, that's where I do like Monkey Island, because there's no way to lose this game.
That is true. There's no way to really make it. Yeah, there's no. Yes.
If doing something out of order would make it so that you couldn't move onward, you just can't do that thing. They make it so that you can't do something unless you're in a position where that would be okay. So you can do things in a different order if you want, but you can't, you know, unlock the cell door unless you've done a bunch of stuff to get to that point.
And when you do something wrong, it lets you try again.
Oh, yeah. So in things that are sort of, what would you call them? Quick time events? Uh-huh. Where you kind of have to do something within, like, a span of 10 to 30 seconds.
Is there quick time events in this?
There are in a couple of them. And so in The Curse of Monkey Island, not necessarily. The timing doesn't really matter. In Tales of Monkey Island by Telltale?
Yeah.
Yes. The entire finale, last fight thing, is a loop.
You said it came out in what, 2007?
2009.
Yeah, QuickTime events were very popular at that point in time with video games. So I can imagine how it would be integrated in some manner in this.
Well, sort of. So like I said, the last battle thing is a loop. So you keep getting thrown to different parts of the ship, and once you go through that whole loop, you realize you're supposed to be doing stuff with some items in the areas.
Ah.
And it really does take some doing. And you can go through as many times as you want. It's not going to make you stop.
I recall. I remember hearing the same voice lines multiple times.
Yeah, because it was very difficult to do. Even if you know what you're doing, sometimes you have to go through it a couple times before you can get to the points that you need to.
Yeah.
In The Curse of Monkey Island, some of the final stuff you have to do. Sword fighting is done through insults. Oh. So when you're sword fighting other pirates, they say a line of an insult to you. And you have to respond with an insult that rhymes.
Okay, so this is rap battle then.
Basically. And this is another trademark of the Monkey Island games, is often in terms of things you have to do with other people, like ways to win someone over or get someone out of the way. Almost every time you have to lose before you can win. So there's a few instances of this in Tales of Monkey Island and a lot in The Curse of Monkey Island where in order to build up a repertoire of those insults, or in order to build up a boudoir of facial expressions in order to win the face-off with a pirate,
right.
You have to lose to people a number of times so that you can gain those things. And you can hear them.
That makes sense, I suppose.
So
exposure and whatnot.
Yeah. And that, I think that really does kind of go with the tone of it, in that Guybrush Threepwood is a pirate who has gotten out of some crazy situations and done some really crazy stuff. But he does it in just such a weird way. In that you can watch him lose 80 million times, and then somehow he comes back and he's a victor, and you don't know how it happened. Now, to be fair, in order for a lot of that to happen, a lot of people fall for the same crap more than twice.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you need to build up the insults, or you need to build up the face-off, or whatever, and one of them in Tales of Monkey Island, you have to get your mast broken. You're in a shootout with the other ship, and you have to make it so that they shoot your mast and break it.
That's weird.
Well, then you go to a different island, and you get a rubber tree mast.
So that it bounces off.
So that the next time you get into this exact same altercation with that person, and you goad them again into shooting your mast, then it bounces off the mast and shoots their ship.
Because that's the easier way.
Well, how many times would you fall for that? If someone came back to you, goading you into shooting them, would you fall for that?
They are pirates.
Right. So that it kind of relies on an element of stupidity to a lot of the enemies.
And of course, this game very much works with nonsense.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's what this game is. So, ad break?
Sure.
Hey, are you looking for some grub? Head on down to Blondebeard's Chicken and Things. We've got chicken. We've got Cajun chicken. We've got our value meal.
Containing, what did it have?
2 drumsticks plus super slaw.
Which comes with 2 drumsticks and our patented super slaw. Come on down, just bring your reservation slip.
Was that good?
Yes, that was fun.
That hurt my throat.
Your piratey voice.
That was strainful.
Strainful?
Strainful.
Okay.
That's a word for you. Put it in Urban Dictionary as something dirty.
So, I'm going to get into some things that aren't just an overview of the games.
I'm going to get into some chicken.
Yeah, Blondebeard's Chicken and Things is featured in Curse of Monkey Island.
I like Blondebeard. He's all, like, short, and he's cute.
He's pirate. He's kind of disgusting, but...
Oh, well.
Yeah. Did you see the biscuits and more in the corner?
What kind
of... The more is maggots.
Oh, well, I live in my truth.
Okay. All right, so in... I have played Curse of Monkey Island and The Tales of Monkey Island all the way through. And I think in both games, there comes a point about halfway through or more where I'd say in Curse of Monkey Island, about 3/4 of the way through, the wheels kind of come off the thing and the overall tone gets a little bit more ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Particularly in the ending where you are going through a carnival of death again on a roller coaster.
Ah.
And you have to get out and save Elaine. Oh, that's the plot of Curse of Monkey Island is you reunite with Elaine on the beach of Puerto Pollo, which is...
Another lovely name.
Chicken port.
Oh, and, it is.
Because there's chickens everywhere. And...
And things.
Guybrush asks Elaine to marry him using a ring that he stole off of LeChuck's ship before it sank, and it turns out it's a cursed ring, and it turns her into solid gold.
Oh.
And then, of course, she gets stolen.
Of course.
Because he just leaves her on the beach.
Oh, my... Why?
Because he's a dumb baby, and then,
That censorship.
And then... eventually he does remove the curse from her, but then she just gets kidnapped by LeChuck.
Of course.
Tales of Monkey Island. Well, they get married at the end of Curse Monkey Island. And then there's Escape from Monkey Island, which I haven't played. Tales of Monkey Island picks up. Elaine and Guybrush are both wedded pirates.
Yes, they're both pirates now.
Yes.
Don't know what happened in Escape to Monkey Island to lose her governorship.
She probably just became full pirate.
That's fair.
So, another mishap with LeChuck at the beginning of this game.
Surprise.
Some botched voodoo that does not kill LeChuck. It just removes the zombification from him, so he's just like a human dude. And he seems very nice and pleasant.
Right, yeah, it de-evils him almost.
Right, except that the evil... infects Guybrush's hand, where he stabbed LeChuck with the voodoo sword.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually it spreads across the Caribbean to infect everyone else with this voodoo pox.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt, overall, the Tales of Monkey Island, pretty much right up to the end, felt good, you know? Uh-huh. I was a little rocky at first. I was like, this banter is not the same. Uh-huh. And then eventually it got around to being... what I remember it being when it was under LucasArts. But I liked it. Like, it felt exciting and daring a lot of the way through it. The only issue that tripped me up was at the end. Some spoilers here. There's a woman that's just called the Voodoo Lady who assists Guybrush.
Yeah.
In basically all these games, and points him in the right direction and tells him what he has to do. There's all of these allegations in the last, like, quarter of the game, which is the last, like, two episodes of
yeah.
the series.
Yeah, because this is episodic, because this is Telltale.
Yeah. Allegations that the voodoo lady has actually been orchestrating everything from Guybrush meeting Elaine to LeChuck going down his crazy evil path. And everything, all of this stuff has been orchestrated by the voodoo lady. Who knows why? She always gives cryptic answers, even when Guybrush talks to her after hearing all of this. She doesn't give any straight answers. She's like, he's like, are you bad? She's like, who's to say? And turns out, you know, LeChuck, even in human form, is still super duper evil.
Surprise.
He also, you know, is the one that blames the voodoo lady for everything because he supposedly found her journal where all this is written. I never got to read that journal. And then it just kind of ends with us, like, the voodoo lady helping out.
Yeah, that threw me off. It's like, when you learn that apparently the voodoo lady was behind it, you go back to her for help.
Yeah, you still
ask
her.
And, like, you still just take her word for things.
Right, because Guybrush is dumb as heck, but...
That threw me off.
Yeah, and then it just ends. And there's a cutscene after the credits that I only found out about later... Where, like, there is some really creepy scene with the voodoo lady and a friend who had died over the course of this game. But otherwise, like, for this being introduced in the last, like, episode and a half.
Yeah, this was definitely Telltale's hand. Like, yeah. It's signature. I guess I can't quite say signature because this is back when they were getting their momentum.
Yeah.
But this is definitely something they would do. And I think we're seeing their influence there.
But, you know, as a creative writer, I see someone come out with this person was in control of everything and being the grand puppet master
all along.
I'm like, I'm no longer interested because there's just too few times when that can be pulled off effectively. Every other time it's like, we just needed a bigger, badder villain.
Yeah. And it's only made worse by the fact that that was the last Monkey Island game?
Right. Okay, that's a different thing. Is Ron... I don't know if it's Gilbert or Gilbert. But...
Let's say Gilbert.
Okay, Ron. Sorry. Gilbert is...
Ron, if you're a listener, let us know.
He's the creator of Monkey Island.
Okay.
And he was the one that did all the writing for the first several games, and Telltale worked with him for their series of the Monkey Island games. He would like to do another game, however... LucasArts was bought up by Disney.
This is true.
Disney now owns the rights to Monkey Island.
Okay.
He doesn't have them anymore, so he can't... And they
so
are,
he's at their whim.
Well, their whim, turns out, they're not planning to do anything else with Monkey Island. They're probably going to scrap it.
That is unfortunate and sadly a bit of a common occurrence.
He wants to buy the rights back, but as of yet, there was a petition to Disney... Uh-huh. To ask them to sell the rights back to Ron Gilbert. But as yet, nothing has come of it. I honestly doubt it will. Disney is a super mega organization. I don't know if they're going to care.
Who wants control of everything?
Right. But they're not going to be focusing on games like that anymore. Especially since, you know, I think Monkey Island is more of an occult classic than anything. Whatever it is. But it's like, there's a sect of diehard fans of yeah. it, but overall most people haven't heard of it.
Yeah, and that is possibly true, because I had never heard of these series prior.
Mm-hmm. But I really like them. They're very fun and summery and piratey and stuff.
They're
without...
good. They've got a nice comedy to them.
It's fun, and it's clever, and it's very tongue-in-cheek, and it's great. And I think Telltale ended up doing a really good job with it, aside from, you know, previously mentioned things.
They also gave him a goatee.
I liked the goatee.
You're into it. I liked his clean-shaven look better. I think it better portrayed his dopiness.
I liked Telltale Guybrush better, but I liked Curse of Monkey Island Elaine better, and you liked Curse of Monkey Island Guybrush better. And I think you were, like, chill with the Elaine design in the Telltale games.
I'm not too familiar with the Elaine design in Curse of Monkey Island.
I loved her design.
Because I didn't really watch you play through Curse, but I did watch you play Tails.
She had big, puffy red hair and big lips and Oh man, it was really great. And then in Tales of Monkey Island, she had like, it just, she just looked really different to me.
Her hair, I liked Guybrush's, her hair was look. Less poof.
Yeah, definitely less poof. So I do want to talk about Elaine though. I just, not to detract too much from it though, I feel bad for Ron Gilbert. Like, I wish he really does want to make another game. He, in fact, never told anyone what the secret of Monkey Island is. So they kind of made one up at one point in one of the games because he never told anyone. He knows what it is. He just hasn't revealed it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my hopes aren't super high, but that's just kind of what's out there right
now. That's fair. Though, we did see a commercial advert, whatever, at E3 for Battletoads.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, anything is possible.
Now, is it okay if I get up on a bit of a feminist soapbox?
Sure.
Okay. So, as far as I'm aware, the Monkey Island games don't pass the Bechdel test. Which is, it has to both feature more than one female character, and they have to talk to each other about something other than a man.
Now, I don't want to contest you, but I wonder how that ruling might change when you have a game with a main player character, you know?
Which is, you know, for stuff like the point-and-click LucasArts games,
yeah,
I'm willing to dismiss it. In the Telltale game, the characters are interacting with each other a lot. Particularly when Guybrush is doing something else and doing the puzzle stuff, there's characters in the background doing stuff all the time.
Okay.
At least one notable instance of Elaine fighting with, what's her name? Morgan Le Fay, the yes. pirate hunter. Fighting with her over Guybrush when it was unnecessary.
Ah, yes.
So,
yeah, there's three women in Tales?
Yeah.
And one of them turned out to apparently be the bad guy?
Yeah. That was the voodoo lady.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to get too into the politics of it because I think that's not really necessary. But I do have a very big complaint about Elaine's role in these games. Every time you see her, she's a total badass. She's firing cannons off of a fort wall at LeChuck. Actually, there's a moment when LeChuck spies Guybrush floating by in that bumper car.
Uh-huh.
And he fishes him out of the water and brings him up onto the ship. And then he's got his sword. And he's like, I'm going to end you forever. And he raises the sword up and then it gets shot out of his hand because way the heck over on the top of the fort, Elaine just shot the sword out of LeChuck's hand. And she never gets terrified by LeChuck. She's always just like calmly, no, I'm not interested in you. Listen, LeChuck, this isn't what I'm looking for in a relationship right now. You know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
She's never freaked out and screaming. When she found out the ring was cursed, that guy Rich gave her.
She does get angry.
She tried to punch him in the face before she got frozen in gold. However, every single game, she gets captured by LeChuck and is just waiting there while captured for Guybrush to go get her.
Which is so against her character.
It's super damsel in distress, which she is not. In fact, at the end of Curse of Monkey Island, when you're going through this roller coaster thing, the only reason you win is because Guybrush says this, Elaine must have escaped and started fiddling with stuff in order to help you get out and not die.
I see.
She got away and was doing things behind the scenes. You don't see her again until the very end when they're getting married on a boat.
Hmm.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, if she's like, I need a Monkey Island game where it's not about Elaine's in trouble, I have to go save her. Because this did start out with Guybrush wanting to be a pirate going to find some treasure.
Yeah.
And even when he's doing that, it's always about Elaine got captured, though. And this even happens in Tales. I didn't think it was going to, because for the longest time it hadn't. But she was with LeChuck the entire time. Guybrush got stranded on an island, and then he went and found the two, and then she was like, well, I'm just going to stand here and talk with the diplomats. You go do piratey stuff. It's like, you can have her go do things. It doesn't have to be that you have to rescue her every time. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, she's wandering around with LeChuck, and then she gets the pox, and then LeChuck turns out to be evil and does take her as a demon bride. And it, I'm like, I... And just the thing that really did upset me was her and Morgan Le Fay. You have this female pirate hunter as your companion for at least half of this game. And then there's no reason for Elaine to get super jealous about it, because Guybrush is nothing but loyal to her.
Oh, yeah.
There's no instance when he's not. But still, they end up fighting each other over Guybrush. And Morgan Le Fay's whole thing is that I respect the fact that, yes, they did make it a character trait of hers, too. She's super in love with Guybrush. Like, she's his number one biggest fan. But she'll still fight him because that's her job.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not like the decision to make her a Guybrush super fan.
It did kind of seem weird to me. I just took it out. Because I can't imagine anyone being a fan of Guybrush. I can't imagine people know of him. But
whether or not they are, it was like you finally introduce a new female character to this series and you make her a Guybrush super fan.
Now, my question here is, the reason later in Tales of Monkey Island, you have to do this. You have to pretend to, like, she has to pretend to be your wife.
Oh, or yeah.
You can't progress. And to get past, you have to do this couples, like, the newlywed game where you right. answer questions about each other. And you use context clues to answer everything correctly. Whereas the reason she was able to answer correctly was because she was a super fan.
Yeah.
Do you think that is, like, that specific reason is
no,
why they did it?
Or I think that puzzle got put in there because of that aspect.
That makes sense. So you think it's the other way?
Yeah. It's such a minor puzzle. It could have been anything, but they made it that because she was a Guybrush super fan.
Yeah.
So that's something that's really irritated me is it is another instance of Guybrush being super clueless more often than not. I mean, he does get into situations and get back out of them pretty decently, but it's just kind of the way that the female characters view him, especially besides the voodoo lady, is like this awesome, wonderful person who's worth waiting on. And it's like, he's still kind of a scummy pirate.
Hey, what was the creator's dude's name? Something Gilbert?
Ron Gilbert.
Maybe Ron Gilbert just has a thing for powerful women. Strong women.
I mean, yeah, but then Elaine is constantly captured. I mean, I'm not going to try and argue about this on a podcast, but
no, because we don't know. And these are games from, like, the 90s and early 2000s.
Right. But I did appreciate that in the Telltale game, Elaine was put up on a stand in a courtroom, and she just spent, like, half an hour ranting about how Guybrush had ruined her life.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was a governor in a mansion, and now she's, like, a pox-ridden maniac who's put up on trial mm-hmm. for stuff. And I was
best
like, okay,
character yeah, witness.
That was fair. Yeah, she was supposed to be a character witness for Guybrush, and she ended up talking about how terrible an effect he had on her life, which was all true.
Talking smack.
Yeah. So, that's my biggest issue with these games, is Elaine could have been really, really cool and had a really cool role, but she's relegated to the damsel in distress more often than not.
Which is a shame, because a lot of aspects of her character are cool. I like it.
Yeah, she's a cool character.
She wasn't. Because normally, you know, with, you know, games from the 90s, a lot of female characters kind of are more of the Guybrush type, to where they're the ditzy, kind of foolish and otherwise incompetent character.
Mm-hmm.
Where this time Guybrush is, and yeah. she is the one who actually can do things.
So it's overall not bad enough for me to, like, dislike the franchise in any way. I do like it. I think it's really great.
But it's still a valid thing to notice.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's my biggest issue. I really, honestly, overall, there's no other issue I have with it.
I do think that. I think it's mostly a product of the times.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that that was the thing in video games. Your princess is in another castle.
Yeah.
So she did get a larger role in the Telltale game, which I'm glad about. And that's why I didn't think it was going to end up with another Let's Go Save Elaine. But it did.
It
so,
did. One that will never be concluded.
She kept making decisions that harmed herself because she trusted Guybrush to be smart enough to get through it, and he wasn't. Nope. He just wasn't. He had to keep asking the voodoo lady, and she didn't want him to be asking the voodoo lady, it turns out. She wanted him to be smart enough to figure it out on his own, and he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do like these games. Go get them. They're probably pretty cheap.
Can you get them?
The Curse of Monkey Island, you can't just run it on a computer anymore. You have to go through Scum VM, which is an
emulator.
Didn't
it recently come out on Steam?
It still runs through Scum VM.
Yeah, but if you get it on Steam, it comes with Scum.
I think it did recently come out on Steam, though. But Monkey Island 2 LeChuck's Revenge can be played on several mobile devices.
Oh, really?
That was what the remaster was.
Right, right, because they did that whole deal.
And then I think Escape from Monkey Island can be played on iPhone, but it's probably an older iPhone, so I don't know if you can still do it.
Yeah, you'll have to do some Google searching to find what games you can play on what, but they're out
the Telltale
there.
Game is available on, like, everything.
Yeah.
And it's a good one. If you want to play a Monkey Island game, Telltale's pretty good. I still like Curse Monkey Island for the nostalgia and the artwork. Because the Telltale with the 3D graphics just can't beat it, but...
Yeah.
It's still pretty good.
I agree. So, that has been The Curse of Monkey Island, and a lot of Tales of Monkey Island, really.
Yeah, because
kind of both.
I played both of them, so...
Yeah. Can I see what the outro is?
Yes!
Sorry! I don't remember what our housekeeping is.
We didn't decide next week.
Oh, we don't know what next week is. I'll tweet about it.
No, do you want to do Five Nights at Freddy's?
Next? You know what? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, so, housekeeping. If you like this, leave us a review on iTunes. That helps us get seen by people and whatnot. It's kind of cool because, like, I have a pie chart saying what percent of our listeners come from what platforms.
Yeah.
And iTunes is slowly taking over, so it's almost at Pac-Man status.
Nice.
Very nice. Good on ya, iTunes, but give us a review on there. That helps us get seen. Maybe that Pac-Man will become a... closed mouth Pac-Man.
Okay.
You can also find us on Google Play, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Player FM. We're on a lot of things. If we're not on something and you want us to be, let us know. You can find us on Twitter at Cozy Co-op Podcast. I post tweets there, and it also is where you can get the most soonest announcement of when our episode goes live.
Yeah, we are both accomplished writers in this room.
I tweet out the moment the episode goes up, so that's the best way to get the immediate pop-up aside from your podcast player. We're also on Facebook, whatnot. You can also email us a business casual email at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. Thelizardrock.com is the website where we get our news from. I write news there Monday through Friday, every morning, a nice amalgamation of news relating to video games. I don't do news about Mark Ruffalo, despite our introduction. Should I push my Twitch account? I'm gonna do that as well.
Okay.
I'm trying to stream more regularly.
Yeah.
So on Wednesdays and Sundays, normally in the evening, I am streaming on Twitch, playing games and such. You can find that at twitch.tv/lizardrock. Check me out.
He's really easy to find because he's just very...
I use Lizard Rock for everything. Yeah. Some things are like Sir Lizard. My personal Twitter is @_LizardRock because some girl named Elizabeth took Lizard Rock and you haven't touched it since 2006. Anyway, the next game we're going to talk about is Five Nights at Freddy's, just the franchise as a whole. A new one of those came out recently, so I think it's a fresh topic, and boy, do I have a lot to say on that one. Real fresh. That's it for today.
Thank you for listening to us, and double thank you if you review our show on one of these platforms.
Yes, super thank you for listening. The things that you put up with for our sake, we appreciate it.
Cozy up with us next week on The Cozy Co-op.
Outro music.
I almost forgot.